Bible Line, Bible Line. Hear God's Word on Bible Line. Hear God's truth on Bible Line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
Now, he says, for the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. His coming is the sign. This is how it's going to be. Now, if you look close, I'm on the horse right behind him. You didn't see that. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, which I believe is a reference to the children of Israel, and they will all see him, and they will see the one that they have pierced. Because he says in the book of Zechariah that they will say, where did you get those wounds that are in your hands? And he says, I got them in the house of my friends when he came the first time, but he's coming back. It's a prophecy. Most of these things are prophetic, history in advance. It's like somebody went forward in time and then came back and wrote about it. You see, you don't have to watch some movie about that stuff. Just read your Bible. It's more interesting and more exciting, and it's the truth. God tells us what's going to take place. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, when he comes in the rapture, you don't see all of this. Because, you see, the rapture is only for those believers who have trusted Christ as Savior and are alive at that moment. Which, if he was to come right now, every person in here who has trusted Christ as Savior will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is not the same as the revelation of Christ coming to the earth. And we'll show you that in just a minute. Warning, warning, warning. So many people get this all messed up. Do not put the teaching of the rapture of the church age believers into the book of Matthew. It's not there. And that's why whenever they read Matthew 24, he talks about two shall be in the field, one taken, one left. Two shall be in the bed, one taken, one left. That's not the rapture. They didn't know anything about the rapture. That's not a description of the rapture. We'll get into that at another time. Matthew is about Christ as the King of the Jews, not as the head of the church. And there is a difference. The rapture, well, this is the living and the dead, believers in the church age. So when Christ comes back for you and I, the dead bodies are going to be resurrected. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who are alive are going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the revelation of Christ, when he is revealed in power and great glory, and every eye will see him, that takes place at the end of the tribulation period. So those that are alive at that period of time, and those who have been martyred, as it says in Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. He says, and they shall live and reign with him for 1,000 years. So that's 1,000-year reign after this. But after the rapture, it's not the 1,000-year reign. After the rapture is the tribulation period. Two different things. Otherwise, we would be looking for what comes in here instead of what over here. We are taken out of this world 7 years before this. I've had people say, don't you know there's other views than yours? Yes, I do. And I've studied every view I can think of. From all different people and sources and books and so on. And when they get to heaven, they're going to agree with me. You say, why don't you agree with them? Because then we'd both be wrong. The three main rapture views we hold to the pre-trib. You see, some people believe that the rapture takes place back here before the tribulation. It's called pre-tribulation. Then you have those that are mid-trib. Well, he comes in the middle right before the great wrath upon the earth. That's another view. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God will take his bride and push her into the tribulation period and beat her to half to death before he takes her home. Over here we have the post-tribulation view, which means he comes back at the end, and so the rapture and the second coming is all the same thing. No, it's not. So I wanted to make sure you understood that I understand there's other views and which one's right. The pre-tribulation rapture. That's the correct position. Thought I'd just let you know that. Why we believe in a pre-trib rapture? Let me tell you, since you wanted to know. Because the 70th week of Daniel is 7 years. There are 70 weeks total, which would be 490, because each week was 7 years. So 490 years total are determined upon, and he says, upon thy people, Israel, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. All 70 of these weeks are about that, and that's what it's for. Now, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. That's 49 years. That's how long it took them to get back to the land and to build the temple. That was back in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. So the temple was built 49 years. Then he says, and after 62 weeks, 434 more years after the temple, shall Messiah be cut off. You write these scripture references down, and when you get home, you look them up, and you'll find out, man, I can believe the Bible. You sure can. He prophesied how long, even to the year, up until the Christ would be cut off. But it says this, he wouldn't be cut off because of anything he's done. But whenever he dies, that ends that 69th week. But there's one more week left. You see, 49 years and 434 years is a total of 483 years. It's supposed to be 490. So that means there's 7 years left. After the crucifixion, there were 7 years, 1 week, left to complete the prophecy before Christ would reign upon the earth. That's what he promised, and I believe it's going to happen. So when Christ mentions this in the book of Matthew in chapter 24, he's explaining that 70th week. And he's telling you that there is going to be 7 more years, but it's out there in the future. But he says, now this is what's going to happen. Because he says in the book of Daniel, there's going to be a covenant made. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, it'll cause the sacrifices to cease. That's why in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, in the midst of the week, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, in the midst of the week, that means in the middle of 7 years, 3.5 years, the Antichrist comes, stops the sacrifices, destroys the temple, and claims to be God and wants to annihilate the Jewish people. It's mentioned in the book of Daniel, verified again by Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And then laid out in detail in the book of Revelation. So this week is upon Israel, not the church. Because this 7 years belongs to the nation of Israel, and that 70 weeks is upon them. It's not upon the church. The church was not even mentioned in the Old Testament. There's types that we can apply, but it's not talked about, and there's no rapture. There's types about the rapture. Enoch was caught up. Then Elijah was caught up in the fiery chariot and all that. But this is different. Now, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look in verse 13. He is revealing something here that was not revealed before. And whenever he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. A mystery is a truth that was hidden in times past, but now revealed for the first time. The teaching of the rapture being revealed for the first time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. That's the first time it's been revealed to the Apostle Paul. Here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, it says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that die, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So God says he's going to bring them with him. You know, those people that have died, absent from the body, present with the Lord, they're with the Lord. So when the Lord comes back, he's going to bring those people with him. And we're going to meet them in the air, and then shall we ever be with the Lord. Now get this. In verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of Yankee. Oh, I read it wrong. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The people have already died. See, they're in heaven with the Lord. The bodies are in the grave. The bodies are going to be made incorruptible, and we which are alive, our bodies, mortal, will put on immortality, not subject to death. And we'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and says in verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the scriptures tell us this. So there is a difference between the rapture and the revelation. Now get this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught down. Oh, caught up to meet the Lord on Mount Sinai, on Mount Zion, in the air. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the rapture and the second coming. Christ comes in the air for his own, comes in the air for us. That's the rapture. 7 years before the revelation, when Christ comes to the earth. Now, Christ comes to the earth with his saints. So he comes in the air for his saints. That's us. He comes to the earth with his saints 7 years later. We are going to be with the Lord. Because he says, remember, and so shall we ever be with. So wherever he goes, we're going with him. He said, what if I've been disobedient? If you've been saved, you're going to be with him. If you've been disobedient, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. But you're still his child. You're still part of the bride of Christ. And you're going to be there. The church is taken to heaven. We're caught up to meet the Lord. And the Bible says, and we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ doesn't take place on the earth. It takes place in heaven. And we're going to be judged, not for our sins. Christ already paid for that. But God's going to reward you for what you did for him. And how you are glorified in the eyes of God by the rewards that you have or the robe that you have or the crown that you have. I don't know. I don't care. But God says, for those who serve him, him will my Father honor. So you can't waste your life here if you serve the Lord. If you serve him, you're not wasting your life. Your life is not in vain. It's just payday later. Payday someday. God's going to pay you for what you did for him. Even though you did it out of a heart of love and you just wanted to thank the Lord so much for what he's done for you. But there are some of God's children that will never serve him. They fall in love with this world and it's going to pass away. But if you know Christ as your Savior and you serve the Lord, God's going to reward you at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when Christ comes to the earth, he sets up his kingdom on the earth. This is what he promised to the nation of Israel. See, it's the believers in the church age, we are the bride of Christ, and we go to heaven, but the people concerning the nation of Israel during that 400 and something years, that's for the kingdom upon the earth. Remember when Christ came the first time? He came to set up his kingdom. He was king of the Jews, but he was rejected as a king. So the kingdom was postponed and put out there in the future. So he's coming back one day. He's going to come to the earth. He's going to deliver Israel. Israel is not going to reject him. Israel is going to believe on him and trust him. And he's going to set up his kingdom upon the earth just like he promised. So those promises in the Old Testament about what God's going to do for the nation of Israel will come true. The church does not replace Israel. Christ sets up his kingdom upon the earth. The rapture could happen at any moment. And we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But you see, the revelation of Christ, when he comes to the earth, when he's revealed, well, that can't happen at least for 7 years. Because, you see, we're going to be taken out 7 years before. Once you put these things in place, you can rightly divide the word of God. And it makes sense. Everything God says, it's true. And it's in order. There's a sequence to everything. Before the day of wrath, because God says it has not appointed us to the day of wrath. And he has delivered us from the hour of temptation that's coming upon the earth. But the revelation of Christ when he comes back, when every eye sees him, is immediately after the tribulation. We just read that in the book of Matthew in chapter 24, and I believe verse 30, something like that. There's no mention of Satan at the rapture. But for the revelation of Christ, when he comes back, the second coming, to the earth, then he's bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And that's why there's going to be 1,000 years of peace upon this earth. Christ will be here and he will be ruling. Now, it'd be neat if these politicians could bring peace upon the earth. But I say without the Prince of Peace, there will be no peace. There'll be wars and rumors of wars until the very end, until it's all over. So the politicians may talk a lot, but you see, it's not in their power to perform. I would love to see America stay free until the rapture at least. Wouldn't you? He precedes the marriage of the Lamb because, you see, he comes and gets his bride and then he takes her to the judgment seat of Christ so we can get ready and get in our wedding gowns, and that's dressing the righteous acts of the saints according to Revelation chapter 19. And so then he takes and comes back to the earth. And we, wherever he is, we're going to be with him. His bride descends with him. One, he comes for the bride, and then he comes with the bride. And this is after the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, only his own, will see him. When the rapture takes place, if it happened right now, we will see the Lord and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I won't get a chance to say goodbye to Mama. You say, why? Because she's already up there. But I will be able to say, hello. You see, everyone who's already died in the Lord, they're coming back with him. And we'll meet them in the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. But when he comes back to the earth, every eye shall see him. And they shall see him coming in clouds of glory. In other words, that's not like immediately or all at once. They see him coming. Every eye will see him. Paul preached this, revealed for the first time. Enoch preached this, but I want you to see this verse very quickly. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. And when he says here, now remember, this is to the Apostle Paul, and this is a truth that is now being revealed for the first time. There's hints at it, but here's the declaration. He says this in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery, a truth being now revealed for the first time. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is when the Lord comes back in the air, and he takes us out of here. Now look in the book of Jude in verse 14. The book of Jude is the book right before the book of Revelation. All right, Revelation. Whichever one you can find. If you can find the book of Jude. Book of Jude and look in verse 14. In verse 14, very important. This is on page 1329 in the church Bible. And verse 14 says, and Enoch. Now, when did Enoch live? Well, he was way back there before the flood. Enoch. Also, the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That was not a truth that had never been revealed. You see, the rapture hadn't been revealed. If the rapture, and that was referring to it, could not say, behold, I show you a mystery. Because that truth had been revealed, and he preached it. We find also that Noah preached. So the Old Testament preached. But which one of these did they preach? Did they preach the rapture, or did they preach the revelation? Christ coming in power and great glory. So that means that that was a truth that had never been revealed before. This had been revealed before, and they're not the same. That's why the rapture could not take place at the same time as the revelation of Christ. It happened 7 years before. You see, the church is all the believers from Pentecost to the rapture. We make up the bride of Christ. Next time I get married, I'll be the bride. Now, that means Christ comes for his saints. The covenant is confirmed for the 7 years. It's broke in the middle because of the Antichrist. He breaks the covenant. And then at the end, Christ comes back to the earth. Perilous times are coming. The key is this. Not so much as, will you be ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture? That's the most exciting thing I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to our graduation. I'm looking forward to a lot of things. I'm even looking forward to growing old. I'm even looking forward to my 100th birthday. But I'm looking forward most of all to the rapture. The rapture could take place at any moment. Wouldn't it be a shame? Out of all the prophecies he gave, we are the generation that's going to be alive and not see death. That he could come and change our bodies where we'd be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Wouldn't it be awesome? Just awesome. Because, see, he talked about the flood. And there were some people there. 8. They talked about a lot of things. I wouldn't have mind being here doing the crucifixion, but I'd be afraid I might be the one that was the bad guy. But I'm glad that I'm alive now. Because this might be the generation that's alive when the Lord returns and takes us out of here. And we can be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But you see, you have to be a believer. You have to believe the right things. Not just be a good person, you know, a good disciple and a follower and a learner of Christ. But do you know him as your Savior? So what do you mean? Glad you asked. I want to explain it to you. Now look up here. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. What that means is we are not perfect. We've all sinned. We've all done things wrong, and because we did something wrong, we have to pay for the wrong we did. Okay, well, how much did it cost? Oh, $5. What if it was just $5 per sin? How much would you owe? But he says that he doesn't want any money. Okay, well, then I'll go to church. Well, he doesn't want that. Well, I'll just be good. I'll take care of the bad. No, no, no. You pay for the sin by dying. Wait a minute. That's not fair. He loves us so much. He doesn't want you to pay for your sins. But if we pay for our sins, eternal separation from God, since the whole world is guilty, we're all condemned. See, God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. No sin. But none of us are perfect. None of us are righteous. We've all done things wrong. This hand represents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us, but he hates our sin, because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So what he did is he took all the sin of all the world, mine, yours, everybody, paid for them on the cross, came back from the dead, and said the only thing he wanted us to do to go to heaven is believe he did this for you. So if he paid for my sins, then I won't have any sins to pay for. If I don't have any sins to pay for, I don't have to go to hell. I can go to heaven. Why? Because I'm debt-free. All my sins are paid. God finds no fault in me. I'm not guilty. Why? Because somebody paid my debt and gave me the free gift of everlasting life. So if you'll believe he did it for you, God saves you from hell, gives you eternal life, and you can know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. So if the rapture took place right now, God's only looking for one thing. It's like he's doing extreme vetting. Only those who believe that he paid for all their sins and trusted him, accepted that. God's looking for that faith. And everybody who has that faith in what he did, pew, you're out of here. There'll be a lot of people who are trusting in their good works, going to church, giving money. They will still be here because they're not saved, because they never trusted him as their only hope of going to heaven. So that's why it's so important to get this right. You've only got this one life, one chance in life to get this right. Wouldn't it be a shame to make a mistake on this? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so glad I know I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven whenever I die. And hopefully, I won't even have to die. Now, if I offered you my Bible and you accepted, you'd have a Bible. If I offered you my wallet and you accepted, you'd have an empty wallet. If Christ walked in here right now and offered you eternal life and you accepted, what would you have? Eternal life. If it's eternal life, how long would it last? If it lasts forever and all your sins are paid, where would you go when you die? To heaven. So can you know you're going to heaven before you die? Of course. That's why so many people here at Calvary know they're going to heaven. It's not because they're the best people in the world. Oh, I don't know. They might be. It's because they trusted Christ as their Savior. That's the only reason. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If what I've said made sense to you, you say, man, that really woke me up. I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven. So, friend, why not right now? I'm not going to have you forward, not going to embarrass you, don't want you to sign anything, promise anything. But right where you are, will you receive what Christ did for you? Will you receive him as your payment for sin? Would you believe he died and paid for your sins, and will you accept him as your Savior? If you will, then God said he will save you right now, give you right now eternal life. When you get up to leave, you can say, I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven when I die because today I trusted Christ as my Savior. Friend, that's the best news in the world. If you've never done that, don't you think now's a good time to do it? When the rapture could take place at any moment. Or you could also die at any moment. Why not right now accept Christ as your Savior? And if you will, I'd like to know and I'd like to have prayer for you. So I'm going to ask you with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. Like I said, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But I'd like to know and I'd like to have prayer for you if you will trust Christ as your Savior. If you've never done it before and you'll do it right now, would you say, preacher, pray for me. I want to trust Christ as my Savior right now. Would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Is anyone at all? Anyone at all? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? If you trust Christ right now, then God saves you right now, gives you eternal life right now. If you're watching by internet, right there on the screen says, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. Why don't you just click that on, let us know, yes, you're trusting Christ as your Savior right now. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you so much for the opportunity we have to have a copy of your mind on paper so that we can know the will of God. And Father, we know that you love us. We know that you loved us so much you sent your Son. And we know that you love us so much that you sent your Son to pay for our sins so that by faith alone we can have the free gift of everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for that one that indicated this morning they would trust you as Savior, because we know according to your word, you'll never cast them out, never lose them. They can know that they're going to heaven. So bless each one here. Give us a good day. In Christ's name we pray.
Are you a new listener to Bibleline? Do you enjoy the teachings of Dr. Arnold? Well, if you've never contacted us before, we want to give you Dr. Arnold's book, The Gospel-Driven Man. Every day we receive many emails from folks who have questions about repentance and salvation, about faith and works, and about how to share the gospel with friends and loved ones. This book, The Gospel-Driven Man, covers all those topics, and we want all new listeners of Bibleline to receive a free copy. There's no obligation, no donation necessary. Simply call us at 1-800-576-3771 or write to us and request your free copy of The Gospel-Driven Man. The mailing address is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, don't forget to include your mailing address. And God bless you and thank you for listening to Bibleline.
Thanks for joining us on Bibleline. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.